Breishir is Daf Kuf Chof Gimel. We're going to start on Daf Kuf Chof Beis, Amid Beis, in the middle of the Amid Tana Rabbanan. So yesterday we had discussed the box and the door of the box not being muksa, even if it got detached during the week. Now we're going to continue discussing a related issue to that door, and then we'll go back to Hilchas Muksa. The cover of this chest, Neutlin, may be removed on Shabbos. You're not allowed to put it back on. And the door of a chicken coop, like Neutlin, cannot be removed or put back on. Says the Gemara. I understand the halacha regarding the chicken coop, kesover, because this brisa holds, kiven the mechavri ba'ara, since the chicken coop is connected to the ground, yesh binya b'karaka and yesh stira b'karaka. Something that's attached to the ground, there is binyan stira. We spoke about the malacha of building and the malacha of demolishing. Although, there's a very interesting chsam soifa. The chsam soifa says that this will not be a classical case of binyan v'stira. Binyan v'stira, he says, b'karaka is on a house that's firmly built into the ground. What's a chicken coop? It's halacha l'maisa. Chicken coop is like a shed that people have in their backyards. What is a shed? A shed is a big box. It's not built into the ground. It's just placed on the ground. So the Chassam Sofer says it won't have all the halachas of binyan v'stira. That means if you'll put some, it has to be really well attached to be chayiv. It's not just like a building in a house that any building is considered binyan because it's not built into the ground. No, it's dependent on how, if it's built in with a foundation. Ella shall tevish shall migdol. But what about the lid, the covering of this box? Let's understand. Mikasover. Ikasover, yesh binyan b'kelim, yesh stira b'kelim, which is a sugya that we've spoken about many times, that even on a keli, even on utensil, there's binyan v'stira. So then, ikasover, yesh binyan b'kelim, yesh stira b'kelim. So why does the Braisa say you could only not put it back on, you could take it off? The ain stira b'kelim, if you're going to hold it, there's nothing, you can't, there's no problem with stira on kelim, so then there's no problem with binyan b'kelim, ain binyan b'kelim. And why is the halacha you can't put it on? Answer the Gemara, Amma b'ayel oilam kusava yesh binyan b'kelim yesh stira b'kelim. This Braisa holds, says Abaya, that the halacha is that there is binyan and stira even on kelim. So why is the halacha that you can't take it off? It's talking about a shenit l'kama. It was already taken off before Shabbos. But Anachanami, if you were asking me a shayla, you're allowed to remove it, unattach it on Shabbos, the halach would be its asr. Ask the Gemara, Amalei Rav, Shtei Tshuvas Badova. There are two problems with your teretz. Chad the Neutlin Ketani. The Brice explicitly says that you may remove it on Shabbos, so don't tell me it's talking that it's already removed. Void, what did the Brice say? Avaloi machzirin. But you can't return. What does a but mean? A but differentiates. This is mutter, but this is asr. But if you're saying that this is also Asr, so how does the but work in the Avol? El Amarava, the Braisa holds, Ein Binyan B'Kelim V'Ein Stira B'Kelim. So if so, why aren't you allowed to put the door back on? B'Gzeira Shem Yitka, there's a new Gzeira. We're afraid that when you put it on, you may tighten the hinges, you may tighten the screw to get it on well, and that would be Asr. What would be the Isser? Machloikus Rashi and the Ram. Rashi says the Isser would be Makav Patish. The Ran says the issue would be binyan when you tighten the screw. And actually the Chazanish uses this concept to an unrelated halacha. When electricity, there's always been a shaila, what is the halacha of putting on a light? So most of the world says it's mavir, you're making a fire. But that works on a bulb that has a filament. So the filament gets red, so you could say it's mavir. But what about on a fluorescent light? A fluorescent light is just a gas. There's nothing that gets red. There's nothing that gets hot. So why is there an issue of mavir? So Chaznish was mechadish that the issue of putting on electricity is binyan, because you're closing the circuit. And he says, this Gemara is the Raya, that binyan is not limited to actually building. Wherever you connect something, it's called binyan. Shlomo Zalman Orbach argues on it, but that's one thing. One more shaila when we learn this Gemara, Gzeir Shem Yitka. Somebody just asked me a shaila yesterday. What's the halacha if your lens comes out of your glasses? Are you allowed to put it back in? So, I saw tshuva from Rav Moshe, not with that shaila, but I think it's a related shaila. Somebody asked Rav Moshe, apparently there are two types of dentures. There are dentures that you put in and out of your mouth all the time, and there are dentures that are supposed to remain there fairly permanently, but they can fall out. So somebody asked Rav Moshe, if the dentures fell out on Shabbos, could he put them back into his mouth? So Rav Moshe said, what was the shaila? You're putting it in tight into the mouth, and maybe it's considered makabapatish or whatever. So Rav Moshe said it's mutter. And he says, why? He says, because the gzeira of Shema Yitka is only relevant when you're dealing with screws. When you're dealing with a hinge or you're dealing with a screw, there's a gzeira Shema Yitka. But if you could put it in, even if you're putting it in, and somewhat even on a permanent basis, but there are no screws or hinges involved, the gzeira Shema Yitka is not relevant. So it depends how you could put your lens back in. If you could put it in without needing to touch any screws, it may be mutter. Continues the Gemara. Night Ladam Kurnis. We learned in the Mishnah that you could take a hammer and use it, even though a hammer, as we explained, is a klisha malachta l'isser, and it's muksa, but the Mishnah paskind that letzorech gufoy mekoymoy, it's you're allowed to move it. And that's why the Mishnah says you could take the hammer if you want to use it to open up nuts. So before we begin the sugya, we're going to spend time speaking about Keli Shemlach Delisser. Let's define Keli Shemlach Delisser as the Mishnah Berurah paskins. Keli Shemlach Delisser, according to the Mishnah Berurah, is something whose use is for Isser. That doesn't mean that it can't be used for Heter. What is the best example? The best example is a pat. A pat, the Mishnah Berurah says, is a Keli Shemlach Delisser. Why? Because a pat is used to cook in, and you're not allowed to cook on Shabbos. Now the truth is a pat can be also used to store food in. People many times store food in pats. They take it off the oven and they just stick it into the refrigerator in the pat. But the Mishnah Berurah says it's still considered Keli Shemlach Delisser. He says more than that. He says, we don't do a statistical study. Do I use it more for Isser or more for Heter? I look, what is this Keli made for? If it's made for an Isser digger use, it's a Keli Shemlach Delisser. If its use is a heter digger use, even if it's not only a heter digger use, but that's a legitimate use that people actually use this for, it's not considered keli shemlach delisser. Just to help us get into the sugya. So Amar Yehuda, kornish al goizim, lefak itzbayis al goizim. What kind of hammer are we talking about, says Yehuda? So Yehuda learns differently than we've been learning. The Gemara is going to point it out. That it has to be a hammer that I designated that I'm going to use to crack open nuts. But if I had this hammer only used as a blacksmith, and now I decided I want to use it to crack open nuts, says Rabbi Yehuda, that will not be mutter. Avoshan nefachim, if you have a blacksmith's hammer, which I didn't designate to use to open up nuts, kesavar, I would not be able to use it to open up nuts. Why? Because kesavar Rabbi Yehuda holds, davar shemalach telisser, if this is designated for an isidiga use, I feel it's arkuf by asr. Even if now you want to use it for a permissible use, it's asr. Amalei Rava asks Rava, Elam Ata, let's understand the Mishnah. Seif diktani v'sarechas v'samaglis, losses love l'kotten. Mishnah mentioned the case, a pitchfork. That even though a pitchfork is a keli shlomach delisser, if I want to use a pitchfork to feed my child, so I'm allowed to use it. So the way the Rishayim explain the Gemara is like this. All the cases in the Mishnah, we could somehow explain that even though I would think that it's a keli shlomach delisser, I designated it leheter. Again, let's use two examples. One is the hammer. Even though this hammer looks to me like it's a hammer, it's a blacksmith's hammer, but I designated I'm using a hammer as a nutcracker. Or, Mishnah used the case of a saw to cut cheese. Even though it looks like a saw, I could say I designated this saw to cut cheese. But there's no way that anybody could say that they designated a pitchfork to eat with. You don't eat with a pitchfork, you eat with a regular fork. So what's pshat? It must be because it's a keli shlomach delisser, and it remains a keli shlomach delisser, but it's tzarech gufoy, it's mutter. But Rabbi Yehuda just said that that's not true. Elam atar, Sefer Diktani Besa Rechas Vesa Malgus. Losses Lov Lekotten. The question is Rechas or Malgus. Mi Miyachti Lekotten. Nobody designates that specifically to be eating utensil. El Amarava. Karnish and Nefchasim. Lefat by Geizim. You have to change what Rabbi Huda said. That if you have a hammer, even though it's used for blacksmith, if you want to use it to crack open nuts, it's mutter. Why? Because Dovah Shemlach Delisser is Betzarech Gufay Mutter. Esay Abai L'Rava, so Abai asks Rava the following question. It says a Gemara, we're going to learn it tomorrow, Meducha, you have a garlic crusher. Im Yesh Beishum, if it has some garlic in it, Metatlan L'Soy, you're allowed to move it on Shabbos. Vimlav, if not, Emetatlan L'Soy, you can't move it under any circumstances. Now what is a garlic crusher? It's a Keli Shemlach Delisser. What are we paskening now? That a keli shemlach delisser, letzorech gufay mekaymoy, you're allowed to move it. This brisa says that if there is no garlic, you're not allowed to move it under any circumstances. Why? Amleis, Rav responds, Hamani, who's the Tana that said this psak? Rav Nechemyahu. Domer, as we're going to learn in tomorrow's Mishnah, Rav Nechemyahu holds, ain keli nita al tzorech tashmishoy. Rav Nechemyahu does not agree with the heter of a keli shemlach delisser can be moved letzorech gufay mekaymoy. Now, there's a very fundamental shaila the Rishonim ask on this piece of Gemara. What is this Gemara saying? That if it had garlic in it, then you could move it. Then I wouldn't have any shailas. Where we find such a heter? We learned this heter at length earlier in the Masechta. That if you have a mace, Rechmanot Tzlan and Shabbos, and a mace is muksah, so we learned in the Gemara that there's a special takana, there's a special kula, that if you put on it a kik or a tinnik, then since they're not muksah, you can move it. But we learned in the Gemara very explicitly that that was said only by a mace, that it's a special kula we said by a mace. And now we see it's not a special kula by mace. It's a kula even by a garlic crusher. You could just keep the garlic in it, and since it has a mutter digger object in it, you can move it. So why do we say it's limited to mace? So Rashba says, the Teretz is like this. When you have a garlic crusher with garlic in it, it's not pshat, that since it has some garlic in it, it's mutter. Just like if you have a mace that has a piece of bread or a chard on it. A garlic crusher is used for two purposes. It goes back to what we spoke about before. One purpose is that it's used to crush garlic, which is the keli shemlach delisser. Another purpose is it's used to store garlic. How do I know that I use this garlic crusher to store garlic? Because there's garlic in it. So it's not pshat that it's mutter because it has some garlic in it. It's mutter because since it has garlic in it, it's a raya that's really a keli shemlach delahetar also. And a keli shemlach delahetar, I'm allowed to move. That's the Rajbis teretz. The other Rishonim say different teretz. When do we say, to a nice teretzim, when do we say that the heter of kikar tinnik is limited to mace? That's by something that's muksa machmas gufay, which is a higher type of muksa. Mace is a muksa machmas gufay. By keli shemlach delisser, we're not, then that heter applies across the board, that if you put a mutter digger thing there, it's mutter. You don't, it's not limited to muksumach mesgufay, only a kin, the only place it will work is by a mace. But if it's a klishumach delis, which is a lower level of muksa, then a mutter digger object being in it will work. A third heter is like this. When do we say that a kik or a tinnik works? It's only by mace, but what happened by mace? When did you put the kik or a tinnik in? When did you put it on the mace? On Shabbos. So there I say that that's the only place it'll work, that if you put a mutter digger item on top of the muksa, it's mutter to carry it. Here the garlic wasn't put on Shabbos. The garlic was there from before Shabbos. So then, on everything, if you have a heter digger item on top of the osu digger item, then you can move it. Continues the Gemara. Eisvei, there's a Gemara Masechta Beya. The Gemara Masechta Beya speaks about an ali. An ali is a pestle. It was used to chop meat. So, Beis Shammai says it's muksa, and Beis Hillel says you could use it. V'shoven, but says the Gemara of the Masechta Tabeya, everybody agrees, Shem Kotzav L'Basar, once you already finish using it to chop meat, Sh'asul Taltuli. Now why? It's a Kli Shemlach Delisser. And a Kli Shemlach Delisser was saying, it's mutter to be carried, L'Tzarek Gufa Mekaveh. Says the Gemara, Sovel Shmulei, at first glance they wanted to answer the same teretz that we said a moment ago, that this bright, the Gemara over there is going from Nechemya. That doesn't agree with the heter of Tzarek Gufa Mekaveh. However, kim the sham lahad amr of chinana b'shalim shem deraf that hakol moedim b'sichi zayir mizuri. Everybody agrees. Rashi says two pshatim b'sichi zayir mizuri. One pshat is that they're utensils that were used by people who died who made color. Another pshat, which is the pshat Tosfos works with, are these were kalim that were used in the sewing and weaving process. The kiv and the kapitalei, since a person is makbid on them, miyachad le'mokim, and he designates a place to it, hachanami miyachad le'mokim. So what's pshat? There's a new type of muksa. This is not muksa, it's klishim lechtelisa, it's muksa machmas chsarin kis. And by the muksa machmas chsarin kis, there is no heter of tzarech gufa mekoymei. And the ali that the Gemara Masechta Bei is discussing is a muksa machmas chsarin kis. Now, let's discuss muksa machmas chsarin kis for a moment. What is the definition of muksa machmas chsarin kis? Very fundamental machloikis of Beis Meir and the Chazon Ish. Posh pshat muksa machmas chsarin kis is something that's valuable to you. That's the way Chazon Ish learns. Something you wouldn't just go and throw around. Something the person is makbid on. Tosfos used the words makbid. Where, I'll give you a perfect example. Is your wallet muksa machmas chsarin kis? Chazon Ish says, avada, your wallet is muksa machmas chsarin kis. You don't just go use your wallet. You protect your wallet. So even if you not necessarily have a specific place that you leave your wallet for Shabbos, but it's still something you makbid on. The Beis Meir says, and he says that's what the Gemara is saying here, you have to be miyach, it's only muksa machmas chsarin kis if you're miyachad mokum. If you have a specific place, that this is where it belongs, you don't just leave it around. In other words, what would be an example? Let's say you have an expensive glass bottle. It's an expensive glass bottle you keep in a specific place in your break front, because you don't leave it just around because it could break. Then, it's muksa machmas chsarin kis. But, if it's not an expensive item, if just because it's an expensive item, but you're not makbid to keep it in a specific place, says the Beis Meir, it won't be muksa machmas chsarin kis. It's a very big kula. Everybody agrees, on the other hand, I just want to say, that just because you miyachad mokum to something, doesn't make some muksa machmas chsarin kis. Doesn't mean just because you designate a place to something, it's automatically muksa machmas chsarin kis. I'll give you an example of what I mean. A psak I saw for a Moshe. Let's say you have a picture hanging on the wall. So you miyachad mokum, you keep your picture on the wall. But let's say somebody comes to visit you, and he wants to get a good look at the picture. Are you allowed to take the picture off the wall and show it to him? It's a muksa machmas chsarin kis. So he says, it's not called muksa machmas chsarin kis. You hang it on the wall because that's where it belongs, but not because you're miyachad mokum. So I want to tell you an interesting psak, a kula, another machlokes in muksa machmas chsarin kis, a pnei Yeshua. The pnei Yeshua says, the only time something can be muksa machmas chsarin kis is if it's a klish malach delisser. But if it's not a klish malach delisser, even if you're miyachad mokum, and even if you're makbid, let's use the glass jar that I gave an example. It's a mutter degur item. It's a glass jar. Even if you're miyachim makim and even if you're makman on it, says the Pnei Yeshua, it's never muksim makim chsarin kis. And the Satmar Rebbe and a lot of other gedolim, Satmar Rebbe, the Tshuvas Divrei Yoyel, yesterday was his yard site, Paskins like the Pnei Yeshua. The Chazon Ish disagrees. I was zoicha to hear from my Rebbe, Reb Tovia Goldstein, the following shayla. He said he was involved with the shayla. He said it was a Simchas Torah in Baranovich. He was living in Rabbi Chanan's yeshiva. He said he had a sister who owned a grocery store in Baranovich. And they didn't have enough beer and wine in the yeshiva of Simchas Torah. So the shaila was, are you allowed to take out beer and wine from the store? Was she allowed to go to a store and open up the store to take out wine? Is wine, bottle of wine or bottle of beer, consider muksa machmas chsarin kis? Because you are miyachad mokum and you're makbid on it. A person who has a store is very makbid. The chas v'shalom, nothing should happen to his stock in the store. So he said, based on this Pnei Yeshua, since a bottle of wine is not a keli shemlach delisser, right? It's a mutter diga item. The Pnei Yeshua says it's not muksa, and Rabbi Chanan allowed them to go to the store, open up the store, and take out wine and beer for the yeshiva. Itmar. When we spoke in the Mishnah about a hammer, it's talking about the goldsmith's hammer. It's talking about the hammer used by somebody who makes psalmim. Says the Gemara. This is the way Rashi learns the Gemara. If you say that a kornish of psalmim even though it's used for besamim. If you decide to use it to crack nuts, it's mutter, koshkein de zahavim. Certainly if you use it for gold, because gold hammer, a goldsmith's hammer, is less choshev than a besamim hammer. Mandam shel zahavim, but however the mandam said the goldsmith's hammer, however the besamim he may hold, is muksumach sarnkis, because kapra layu. So we learned that's a kush vas a karka. You're allowed to take these long needles that were used in sewing to bring food. Tanur abanus. We learn a brayse like this. Pagish atanur b'tamvid. If you put a radish into straw, or charorish atanur b'gecholim, or you put a piece of cake into coals, imagul miktsasa. If the now the straw is muksa, the coals are muksa. Imagul miktsasa. If you could touch, if you could reach the radish or the cake, matal tatla, you could pick it up. Vimlav. But if you can't get to it, asl tatla, because you have to touch, you have to move muksa to get to the item. Rabbi Elazar ben Tadoi says, toichim kush bekarka, stick in the stick and pull out the radish, v'heimen naris meleim. Omer of Nachman, halach Rabbi Elazar ben Tadoi, the halach zakrim naris Tadoi. Since you're not moving the muksa directly, you're just pulling out the radish, even though by pulling out the radish, you are moving the muksa, it's mutter. Says the Gemara, remember the sovereign of Nachman. If Rav Nachman is passing like Rav Elazar ben Tadoi, it must be that he holds that tiltum in a tzad, that if you're not directly moving the muksa, lo shmei tiltum. Ask the Gemara, Vam Rav Nachman, hai pogla. If you put in a radish into earth, we're not talking about earth that's connected to the ground, put it into earth. So now radish is wide on one side and narrow on the other side. So if you did a memal lamata, that you have the wide side that's open, so you can move it out. Because you're moving it out, and you're not moving, even indirectly moving any earth. Mamata mamala, but if you have the skinny side on top, so when you pull out the radish, the earth that's on top of the wider part moves by you pulling it out, it's awesome. Now the question is, that earth moving, isn't that tiltum and atzad? So why is it awesome? Rav Nachman just said the tiltum and atzad is mutter. Says the Gemara, Hadabai Rav Nachman Mehi. Rav Nachman retracted from Napsak. Ask Taisvis, why do we say Rav Nachman retracted from Napsak? Maybe he retracted from the Psak of Rav Elazar Tadoi. So Taisvis says, because we knew that Allah is that Tiltum and Atzad is Mutter. So if I have to say that Rav Nachman retracted, I'd rather have him end up correct La Halacha L'maisa. And let's talk Halacha L'maisa. But let's expand the conversation for a moment. There are two concepts. There's Tiltum and Atzad and Tiltum Kalachiyad. Tiltum and Atzad means indirect moving muksa. Like the case here, you have earth on top of the radish, you pull up the radish, and the earth moves along. And then you have tiltum kalachiyad. What's tiltum kalachiyad? You carry something not in the normal way of carrying, as the words imply. You carry it on top of your hands, not in your palm. So Mishnah Berurah says like this, tiltum kalachiyad of a davar muksa is mutter. If you carry it in an abnormal way, you have to know what abnormal means. But if you carry it not in the normal fashion, it's mutter. Tiltum and atzad is only mutter if you're carrying it with soyruch adavar mutter. Al gemara. What's the reason you're moving the muksa here? Not because you want to move the muksa, it's because you want to get the radish. The muksa just gets moved indirectly. But to move muksa and atzad indirectly, in other words, let's say I have in front of me this computer, and I want to move it on Shabbos, I know I'm not allowed to move it, so I'll take a stick to push it. That would be awesome. Because that's tiltum and atzad, l'tzoyruch davar amuksa. But if I have something that's mutter, and I move it, because I need to move that, and thereby the muksa gets moved, that's mutter. Now Taisus asks one more question here. Why when you have the radish in the ground, with the earth on top of it, don't you have a problem with bosses? What's on top of the on the radish? Davar asur. So it should be a bosses or davar asur. So Taisus answers, that when you put the radish in before Shabbos, you had in mind you're going to take the radish out before Shabbos, on Shabbos, and therefore it doesn't become a bosses. Which all the Rishonim say is very difficult to understand. Because we learned the Gemara earlier, that if you put on top of your pot a stone, your pot becomes a bosses. You want to get to your pot on Shabbos. So why is it a bosses? According to Taisvis. So the Ran adds one knach to Taisvis. The Ran adds, not only did you have a mind to take the radish or the cake out on Shabbos, If you're going to leave the radish or cake in all of Shabbos, they're going to get ruined. The cake will burn, the radish will get spoiled. That's why combining the fact that you had a mind to take it out, and if you don't take it out, it'll get ruined, that's why it doesn't get bosses. That's why it doesn't become bosses. But if you put a stone on top of a pot, even if you have a mind to get to it on Shabbos, but still nothing will happen if it stays there all the Shabbos. That's why there it's a bosses and here it's not. There are other truths, but we don't really have time. We learned machat shayad, you could take a needle, little by the kites, to take out a splinter. Sholach le Rav b'rei de Rav el Rav Yosef. So Rav the son of Rav said to Rav Yosef, Lamdeinu Rabbeinu, teach us, machat shenitl chararo, a uksa. If you have a needle that's missing its point or its eye, you know, the eye is where the thread goes in. Mahu. Is it still considered a keli? Because for something to be a keli shemach t'lisser, the first rule is it has to be a keli. Is it still considered a keli or not? Amalei. Tenesua. Isn't that our Mishnah? Why did our Mishnah say, why is a machet a keli shemach t'lisser? Machet, shayad. Why is a needle considered a keli shemach t'lisser? Because you could use it little by the kites to take off a splinter, take out a splinter. Now, in taking out a splinter, does it make a difference between the kuva lebeish and the kuva whether it has an eye or doesn't? So obviously, having an eye or not having an eye is not a relevant factor as far as it being a keli and being allowed to be moved on Shabbos at least letzarek kufa mekayma. Eisvei asked the Gemara, there's a Mishnah in Masechta Kelim. The Mishnah says, we know, and we said this halacha many times already, that any keli that's broken is no longer tameh. If you have a keli that's tameh, if you break it, it loses that shem. So now what about machat? You had a needle, and the needle was tameh. Shenitl chararo uksa. It's not, its eye or its point was removed. Tahira. So you see that if it's missing an eye or a point, it's no longer muksa. It's no longer keli. So what are you telling me that if it's missing an eye, it's still considered a keli as far as Hilchos Shabbos is concerned? Answers the Gemara, Amar Baya, Tuma Shabbos Karamas. What are you comparing Tuma to Shabbos? Tuma Klimai Sabirin. And Tuma the Torah said that in order for it to be Tuma, it has to have the title Klimaisa, the category. And once it's broken, it loses that status. Linyan Shabbos, regarding Shabbos, it's not dependent on its category or a status. It depends on one issue. Midat d'chazabinim, does it have a permissible use or doesn't have a permissible use? For Hanami, in this needle, chazal mishnah by koitz, has a use. It can be used to take out a thorn. Amar Rava, so Rava says, chapnisht. Man the kamaisiv, shabba kamaisiv. The one that asked the question asked good. Why? Because literally in tumalab manahu, since as far as tumah it's not considered a keli, linyan shabbos namilab manahu. I have to say it's not a keli as far as Shabbos either. Meisvei asked the Gemara, but there's a brisa. The brisa says explicitly, machet, bein akuva, bein shein akuva, whether it has an eye, or whether it doesn't have an eye, mutal latatle b'shabbos, you're allowed to move it in Shabbos. V'lo amr nekuva, that they only said it's having an eye or not having an eye, and l'in yitum abavad. So now the Gemara is asking Kasha and Rava. Rava equates Shabbos to tumah, and here we see a brisa that clearly doesn't equate it. Regarding tumah, if it's missing an eye, it's not a keli, and regarding Shabbos, this brisa clearly considers it still a keli. Tirgma Abaya, the Aliv the Rava, the Gomias Kino. You sometimes start off just with blanks, needles, that don't have the hole in it. So Zimnin, the Mimlachalayu, sometimes a person will take a needle, even though it doesn't have an eye, imagine Mona, and I'll say, for me, I don't need a needle with an eye. And that's why it's for Shabbos Akeli, for Muktz it's not. Aval Hocha, what's the case over here? Avalhecha, what's it talking about here? The nitl chararo uksa. You had a needle. Now let's understand it. This is the way the Chazon Ish explains the Gemara. A needle is not the most chashuv keli. It's not the most significant keli. On top of it being an insignificant keli, what happened here? It broke. What it broke, it lost its point or it's lost its eye. So you have a double insignificance. Number one, you started off with something which is pretty insignificant. And number two, even this insignificant thing is broken now. So that, for Shabbos, who's going to keep it? You just throw it out. So therefore, even though it may have a use, because like we explained, even though it's missing its eye, it could still be used to take out a splinter. But people don't use it that way. People just throw it out. That didn't start off with that much. And that's why it's not going to be considered a keli for Shabbos. Says the Chazanish, and it makes a lot of sense as a follow-up. Let's say it's missing its eye. It started off as a good needle. And it broke. And it's missing its eye. But I say, for whatever reason, maybe I don't have money, or maybe I don't have another needle. And I say specifically, I want to hold on to this needle to use to take out a splinter. Then it'll still be a keli for Shabbos. The fact that I said specifically that I still want to use it, and it has a use for Shabbos, it will be still keli, even though for tum it's not. What is the Gemara talking about, says the Chazon Ish? The Gemara is talking in a case where I didn't say specifically that I want to use it. There we assume that if it's broken, just throw it out. Avel hech den nittel charoro ukso, odem zarkel bein gretoyz, he throws it out. Says the Gemara, asuvi yinuka. Asuvi yinuka means that when a child was born, and some of Farshim explained strictly on the day he was born, they used to wrap it in blankets, because the limbs are still soft, that they shouldn't, chas v'shalom, go out of shape. So now the shaila is, are you allowed to do that on Shabbos or not? Asuvi yinuka. Rav Nachman says it's awesome. Why? It's ticking. You're fixing the child. Rav Shesh is shari. Rav Shesh says it's mutter. I'm Rav Nachman, mino aminilo. From where do I know that it's osir? The tnan, the halacha is, ein oisin apiktoizim b'shabbos. What does apiktoizim mean? Apiktoizim means that a person, in those days, a person wanted to gorge himself. It's not nice to say. So let's say you ate a big meal. So you can't eat. It's just not possible. So what they used to do is take some sort of a medicine, or not a medicine, Rashi says it's not a medicine. They used to take some sort of a drink, which would cause them to vomit and gorge themselves, and then they could go back to eat. So the halacha is that you're not allowed to take that on Shabbos. Why? Because it's ticking. You want to be with an empty stomach. So you've been sacking yourself by taking this, and it's awesome. So you see that you're not allowed to do anything which fixes the person. Similarly, he says, you're not allowed to put the child into the blankets because you're fixing up the child. So what's Rav Shesh is going to answer to that? Rav Shesh is hosom lav orchei. It's not normal for a person to take this drink. And that's why Chazal said you're not allowed to drink on Shabbos. Avol hocha, putting a child into the blankets, that was part of the process after the child was born, orchei, and it's not considered tikkun, and it's mutter. Now Rav Shesh says, I'll bring you a right that I'm right. I'm Rav Shesh, no, I'm in law. That nan, machal shayad, we learned in our Mishnah, you're allowed to move a needle. What are you going to do with a needle? Isn't a needle osir? It's a klei shemlach tesir. You need it, little by a koitz, to take out a splinter. Now let's understand. What do you have? A person with a splinter is a person that's not perfect. The splinter is bothering you. You're allowed to take it out. Isn't that tikkun? If doing anything which is a tikkun to the person is osir, so how can a person take out a splinter? So if you're not allowed to take out a splinter, you're not allowed to move the needle. If the Mishnah says you're allowed to move the needle to take out a splinter, it's obvious that you are allowed to take out a needle, and you are allowed to be masakin to a person on Shabbos. And so the Gemara, you can't compare a needle to limbs, because a splinter to limbs. Limbs are inside the body. A splinter is not inside the body. It's just on the surface, and you need to be able to get to it. That's why it's more of a tikkun on something inside the body, like the limbs, which would be osur, according to Rav Nachman, versus the splinter, which is not mamish inside the body, and it's mutter. Hosom, the limbs, pocket are inside the body, and that's why being misadded them is called tikkun, arranging them. Hocha, like pocket, they're not inside, and that's why you could take out the splinter. Says the Mishnah further, Karnashal Zaysen, they used to have this stick that they used to turn over the olives to see if they're ripe. Im yesh kashi b'roishai, if there's some sort of a knob on top of this cane, mekabel tuma. V'mlav, but if it doesn't have it, ein mekabel tuma. Benkach benkach, whether it does or it doesn't have this thing on top, nitel b'shabbos, you're allowed to move it in Shabbos. Why? Because it has a heter de geyus. What's its heter de geyus? Because you're allowed to turn over the olives on Shabbos. And we're saying that any keli shemlachter leheter is not muksa. Ask the Gemara, but we said if it has this knot, this bow on top, this protrusion, it's mekabel tumah. Ask the Gemara, my pshuta kleyetsu, it's a plain stick that doesn't have a receptacle, and the halacha is pshuta kleyetz ain't a mekabel tumah. If a wood keli doesn't have a receptacle, it's not mekabel tumah. Why? My tama dumi the sakbin, it has to have a receptacle. This doesn't have a receptacle. Answers the Gemara, it does have a receptacle. Tana Mishmeid Rav Nechemya, B'shar Mishah Hapich B'zaisim, when they turn over the olives, V'hoipcha V'roibay. So the way Rashi explains it is like this. It had a little oak cup on top, and when you turn over the olives, some of the olive oil oozes out into that cup, and you could test the olive oil if it's where you want it to be. But that's a clay kibble. It has a receptacle for that oil. That's why it's mekabel tumah, because it's a pshuta kleyetz. It's not pshuta kleyetz, it's a kleyetz with a receptacle. Says the Mishnah further. Rabbi Yossi Yomer, kol ha-kelim nitalim. You're allowed to move all types of kelim, as we've discussed and we'll continue to discuss. Chutz min ha-mesra ha-godl, besides a large saw, which is used to cut beams, the yeset shemachrisha. It's like some sort of a plow. Why they muksa? What we discussed earlier. It's muksa machmas chisarnkis. Amar Rav Nachman. Hai uchli de katsri. Uchli de katsri, Rashi says, is the utensil they used. They used to put incense on their clothing, that the clothing should have a good smell. So what do they do? So Rashi has one or two pshatim. Either they put the incense into a copper keli, and it had holes on the bottom, and then they used to sprinkle on top of the garments, or vice versa. They used to have the incense in a keli. They used to put it into the keli, and they had holes in it, and then they put the clothing on top, and the smell would emanate from this keli onto the clothing. Amar Nachman, Hai Uchle de Katsri, Ki Yesed Shemachrisha Damya, has the same status as the Yesed Shemachrisha that we just spoke about in the Mishnah. It's Muksumachm Sarnkis. Amar Abaya, Charba de Ushkafi is the scissor or the knife that was used by a tanner, people that work with leather. It's again Muksumachm Sarnkis. The Sakina Dashkafsa, that's the book. So there's a Machlaikis Rashi in Taisvis, how to explain Sakina Dashkafsa. Rashi says Sakina Dashkafsa is the butcher's knife, the knife that they used, that the butchers used. Taisa says it doesn't necessarily mean the butcher's knife, it means the chalif, the knife that a shaykhid uses. Sakina Dashkafsa, again, V'chatzina Denagri, it's also a special keli that was used by the carpenters. Kiyas Shemachrisha Damim, they won't use it for anything else. And they are muksumach tzaron kis, and you're not allowed to move it. So what pshat in the machloikis Rashi and Tosfos in Sakina Dashkafsa? So Mefarshim explain like this. This is again an understanding muksumach tzaron kis. Rashi says it's that to be considered a muksumach tzaron kis, it can't have mutter de geyus on Shabbos. So nobody uses to eat their supper a big butcher's knife. Can't use it to cut your supper. What about a chalif that's used by a shayfet? So especially the chalif on a chicken, is not, if you have a sword, it's not so big. So you could theoretically eat supper with it. Even though pashtus, you wouldn't do it, because you don't want to ruin it, but you could. So Rashi says, that's already not muksumach l'sasaron kis. Taisha says, muksumach l'sasaron kis is a state of mind. Since no shayfet will use his chalif to eat supper with, because it will only mix it, and only ruin it, that's why it's muksa. That's taka d'alocha. We paskin that the shaychit's knife, or the knife that's used by a moil, is muksa machra scharen kis, and can't be moved, even with tzarek gufa mekayim.